So I wanted to hear a little bit about, kind of get an update on where we are today in terms of venetoclax combinations. But in terms of some of the specifics, one of the things we see in this poll is a little bit of divergence about the partner. As I mentioned, mainly azacitidine, but also some decitabine. In this particular poll, we didn't see any low-dose ARA-C, but how do you think through those options in terms of venetoclax partnering? And when you do use hypomethylating agent, what kind of schedule?
Great question. So, I mean, I think the first question with respect to the backbone therapy or the partner therapy, like you said, I mean, I think in this country, the low-dose cytarabine option is usually not an option. And that's because of historically just a lack of familiarity with that drug in this country, a lack of access to it. And so, you know, in this country, I think the real decision-making is around hypomethylating agents. The other thing about low-dose cytarabine, and we learned a little bit more about this at this past ASH meeting, is that, you know, when you try to compare results from one study to the next, which of course everyone would tell you is not a completely fair thing to do, but something we all do, the response rates for the low-dose cytarabine backbone are not as good as the hypomethylator backbone. And I think there are some explanations for that. The patient populations weren't exactly the same. But I think there is some emerging data or sense that, you know, for the very susceptible populations to venetoclax strategies like NPM1 or IDH mutated, they can do real well with a low-dose cytarabine. But the poor risk historically patients, like the adverse risk cytogenetics and those types of patients, I think there is a bit of a signal around those patients not doing as well with a low-dose cytarabine. But when it comes to the second part of the question, which hypomethylator to use, I think the jury's still out. I mean, there's never been a comparison, and a lot of this comes down to your comfort level and things like that. I think it is, you know, I think there is perhaps a signal that azacitidine has a little bit better long-term follow-up with respect to disease-free survival, remission duration, and overall survival. I think that's yet to be seen, but, you know, it's also important that the phase 3 study with hypomethylating backbone therapy, which is accrued and we're waiting for results, only looked at azacitidine. And so whether or not that's a reflection of a belief of which therapy works better or more of a business decision, I do think at some point most of the data is going to be around azacitidine as the backbone.